Blog Talk Radio.
What happened there?
Man, I thought there was nap time for a minute there, Miguel.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have the policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Hey, amigo, I say hello to you. And did you get that subliminal message from Mike P?
Yeah.
It was kind of like,
fuck him.
That's what he said, indeed. Hey, you know, we're talking about Mike P, the rapper. He's been nice enough to give us a little tidbits of his music. We invite everybody to check him out. He is not somebody playing the game. He is the real deal. Make no mistakes about that, boys and girls. Listen to his music if you want. Pretty exciting stuff. So, Philip, good to see you tonight, and we want to welcome everybody that's tuning in. We want to thank everybody that took time to call up last night and joined us on the Sam Crow radio show. We had an interesting speaker, Easy Ruiz, and he was killed in the show. He did a couple seasons. What an interesting man, a rapper. He's a firefighter, paramedic, all kind of stuff like that. It was an interesting show last night. What do you think, buddy?
It was.
Good deal, good deal. Now, we are going to talk about every Wednesday night, Sam Crow, Sons of Anarchy. Thursday, we go back to our regular program. Tuesday, Philip still is the Lone Ranger. Every Tuesday, Phil will run the whole program by himself. But this Thursday night, we're back here together. We thank you very much for tuning in for the new show, Sam Crow. We'll be bringing guests in from past shows until the program starts in September.
Correct.
And then as the show comes out on a Tuesday, Wednesday night, we'll be bringing actors who are in that season, that show rather, excuse me. So it's going to be all exciting, all new stuff. You people can call in. You people can say, hey, what happened, man, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever you want to talk about, because it's your show.
That's the point, though. People are, you know, I've already heard some feedback about where we don't give enough people time to talk. We do. And if you got something you want to say, call.
Yes.
Because how many times have we gone and I open up the lines because I screen the calls off to the side, and they don't want to answer.
Well, people get a little nervous. Yeah.
They don't want to listen.
Well, you can email Philip, and I'll try to the best of my ability. You know, ask. Boys and girls, anybody listen to us now? You got to know Philip and I are laid back. We're easygoing. We're not gonna make you feel uncomfortable. We'll never have anybody laugh at you. We'll all laugh with you.
Correct.
So you want to keep emailing questions. That's all right. I understand it. And I'm all right with that. But remember, guys, it's your show and our show. Philip and I get tired of hearing each other talk, actually. We've been talking for too many, many, many years. I got something I want to bring up if you're catching some more stuff around with that. I want to invite everybody, and this is going to be crazy, everybody to a wedding. Philip and I have a friend called Grizz, and he's marrying Lefty. They're getting hitched. Grizz is Michael Hallam, and I never knew he had a real name. And Lefty is Tina Schaefer. I never knew she had a real name. September 7th at 5 p.m. at the Pala Indian Reservation Tribal Recreation Hall. We do stuff on the Indian Reservation because they allow us, and we can have a lot of fun over there. Now, I know you aren't going to drive that far, but I'm going to give you all the information anyway. The address is 12196 East Pala Mission Road, California, 92259. Now, 4 o'clock, we're all going to get together. We're going to gather up and get ready. At 5 p.m., Philip, September 7th, is that a Saturday or Sunday, sir?
Saturday.
It'll be Saturday night. Thank you. Okay. 5 p.m., the ceremony is going to start. And 6 p.m., we're going to have a dinner, Mexican food. What a surprise that is. keg beer, and bring your own booze if you're one of those got to have special drinks.
And bring your designated driver. Do not ride your bike if you're going to drink.
Listen, once we leave the Indian reservation, it's like the cops are waiting for us. Do not be stupid on this one. 8 o'clock, the band's going to kick in here. Now, Grizz, he wants me to tell everybody his house is full. He doesn't want any gifts from anybody. He doesn't ask anybody. Your presence is the gift he'd like. Now, there is going to be the money dance where you can dance with the bride and pin $20 or $100 or whatever you do. That's kind of nice with that program in there. But he doesn't want anybody to bring anything. Just come and have a good time. So RSVP for the dinner count. And anybody, no matter what state you're in, you can email Grizz and just drive him crazy. His email is Grizz, G-R-I-Z, 760 at yahoo.com. And I'm not going to give the cell phone number or mailing address. That's just for my purposes. Now, who is Grizz? Grizz is a member in good standing in the Vietnam Vets, Legacy Vets, MC, California, I chapter. So I'm going to ask anybody who is a Vietnam vet / legacy vet, and if you want to email Grizz at Grizz, G-R-I-Z, 760 at yahoo.com. Mess with his head if you want. Tell him you're coming out for the wedding.
You know, that guy's a lot bigger than you. He's got you
that
by about 75 pounds.
No,
you keep fucking with me,
he's going
to fuck you up, Bill.
He's a lot more than 75 pounds. He's almost a foot taller than I am, too.
Everybody's a foot taller than you. Everybody's a foot taller than me.
I don't know, but that boy is huge. He didn't get that nickname Grizz for nothing. But anybody that wants to give him a quick email or a shout-out and say congratulations on the wedding, that's kind of nice because, you know, when we were younger, it used to be weddings and funerals.
Correct.
Now, I don't go to weddings anymore.
No.
I don't know if we even have weddings anymore. So, if anybody tunes in the show, I'd love to have you email Grizz. Say congratulations. Say you're coming out from wherever. Whatever you want to say. Aggravate the boy. Okay, so enough of that. And how's your schedule? Are you going to be in town on the 7th? Because I'm going to try to make the wedding. I don't know if you're going to be around.
Right.
7th? We'll see how that looks on our schedule at this point here.
Saturday. We'll see.
Yeah.
I can't tell you now because
I understand. We got things going.
Stacy, can you hear us?
Yep.
Okay. Because they just sent me a message that says we're currently experiencing issues. And engineers are working on it. Huh?
I can hear you guys loud and clear.
Okay.
Did you hear about the wedding invitation?
Yep, loud and clear.
Okay.
With the address and the email address. And you were keeping the phone number.
Well, yes, I thought, you know.
Bill, I got this article that you gave me today.
Now, before you say something, I'll say something. We try so hard to keep our community the best we can make it, and Philip and I try to make a good picture. I want you to understand what it's like to live where we live. Boom. Please, go ahead, sir.
Crackdown on drivers to prevent motorcycle accidents. This is by Promise Yee. We know her, don't we?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I know what that is. Oceanside, extra motorcycle police officers were out from 6 a.m. to noon on key streets this August to crack down on careless drivers who are likely to cause a motorcycle mob accident. So that's what they were doing.
Yeah, they're helping.
They were helping piss everybody off. Helmets and being stupid again.
I'll repeat that again. It was from 6 o'clock in the morning until noon. And for how long is that going to be on?
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay, all right.
The motorcycle safety enforcement operation is aimed at reducing the number of motorcycle accidents. Now, Bill, motorcycle-only checkpoints got changed to, what did we call it? Selective enforcement?
Selective enforcement again, once again.
Okay.
Because motorcycle-only is illegal.
Right.
But now,
now they put safety and enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're looking for any violations of vehicles or motorcycles that can lead to motorcycle accidents, our buddy, Sergeant Gabe Jimenez, said.
Hey, Sergeant Jimenez. Hello. Hello, Sergeant Jimenez.
Oh, before I get into the rest of this, do you want to tell them what happened to you last Thursday?
I left...
Hang on. Stacy.
Yes.
Listen to this.
What? okay?
Listen to what Bill's going to say. Mm-hmm. I want everybody to listen to what Bill's going to say. Pay attention very carefully. Listen.
We try so hard again to make this the best paradise we can, but this is a typical thing. All of Phil's going to read in a few minutes. Now, let me just tell you my history. I left Phil's house the other night, and I went about two blocks up the street, and I came to a stop sign. My turn signal was on. I was making a left-hand turn. As I made the left-hand turn, from nowhere, OPD, police department. So I drive on down to, made a right-hand turn, turn signal on. I made a left-hand turn signal on. I got my new buddy with me checking to make sure I'm okay. Now, I went about five or six blocks down, and there's a left-hand turn onto the bridge. It's called College. The officer jettisoned ahead of me, like he was no longer interested in me. And before I turned left onto this College bridge, he pulled into a parking lot.
You know why he did that, don't you?
He was pretending that he wasn't interested in me
anymore.
Right,
well, you know why he did that, don't you? Because that's a long-ass fucking light. So if you were going to make a left, he wanted to turn left with you.
Yeah. But he jettisoned in there, and he turned into a restaurant, a little supermarket, so, like he was no longer interested in me. The appearance. Sorry, folks. So I turned left, properly turned signal on and all that. Speed limit was 45. I had 45, 46. I wasn't doing anything, no serious with them. Driving with my throttle in my right hand, my left hand adjusted in the mirror. Because I got the apex of the bridge, I looked, and out of this shopping center, like a rocket, came this motorcycle. No, excuse me, it was a patrol car coming at me full strength again, racing. But I had him in my mirror, so it was no big deal. I went five or six more blocks, and you realize, hey, I had him the whole time. I came to another intersection, turned signal on, I turned left. Finally, at that point, he turned right. Now, this is the stuff that we have to deal with. Even when we're doing nothing illegal, we're not causing any trouble whatsoever. And I'm not saying the officer is harassing me. Let's just say he was giving me his additional headlights.
He was the one parked around
That's
the corner.
That's right, yeah. And followed me coming
Nobody believes me when I say they park outside the house.
Right.
Now, when we start bringing people in to do the show, it's going to be a fucking zoo out there again.
What's
just like when we go downtown. They're going to be three deep on that south road. They're going to be fucking two or three in the cul-de-sac, and two or three on the other side of the street, and waiting for you up at the top of the hill.
Now, there are times when there are people speeding, and they're ignoring those people, and we have company.
Exactly.
If anything, it's making me the most careful driver in the world. I actually got to put turn signals
on. If anything,
on.
It's making us
That's what I'm saying, man. I got to look in my mirrors. I got to look everywhere because these guys are waiting to come flying out. From my motorcycle shop, we have a stop sign one block away, and it's a lame stop sign. There's no reason for it to be there even. So people kind of... California stop sign. California rolled through it all. They sit there one block from my shop, and they wait for the bikers to roll through the stop sign. Kind of a stop sign, put one foot down and go. That's not enough in there. One block from my
shop, anywhere else, in California, that's fucking legal.
Sure.
With these bastards, it's not.
So the point is that we... try to make this a nice town. We try to make it better for everybody in here. But every day is a fight. So for you people out there thinking, well, you know, we got it tough. Folks, we got it tough too. All I'm asking you, do what you can to make your state a little better. Philip and I are doing the best we can. I'm going to mention my good friend Rat is going to call you tomorrow because he had a major conflict. We'll talk about that later and all that. And the cop uses abusive language and everything. Rat said he never did anything wrong. This is what we have to deal with. I'm not saying the situation is too tough. I'm not saying for a moment Phil and I are going to back off. But if you think you have it tough, we all have it tough. If it was easy, everybody would give in. So everybody listens to us. Everybody gets involved in your own neighborhood. I salute you. I applaud you. I urge you to continue on with your endeavors. So... let me allow you, sir, if you were to get back to this motorcycle safety precautions they're hitting us for.
Okay. Here's the deal, Bill. Now, you know how many people we know that had motorcycle accidents in this city?
Well, we know every one of them.
That's correct.
I don't know the numbers, but we know every one of them.
It's over 300 in the last 5 years. Okay? Not, it's everybody, not just guys we know. Okay?
Okay.
500 is what I found out.
Metric, Harley, European,
whatever.
Everybody. Okay.
Yeah, I don't
so
care what bike you can. I don't care what kind
everybody
of bike you ride.
Everybody understands that.
We
okay.
don't care what kind of bike you ride, as
yeah.
long as you ride.
You have to face the same problems we do. You got potholes
right.
on the road. You got blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Now, this is where I had a problem with Mr. Jimenez's statement. Because he said, automobile drivers who speed, make unsafe lane change, or who are under the influence of drugs or alcohol are a major cause of motorcycle-involved accidents. Now, if you're splitting lanes in this town,
mm-hmm.
and somebody makes an unsafe lane change and knocks you off your bike, they're saying you're guilty.
Yeah.
Not the car,
right.
you. Why? You know why?
Well, I imagine they're saying that if you weren't there, that car could have bumped you,
but
therefore you shouldn't have been in the lane there.
No, do you know why?
Well, no, I just...
Getting money.
Revenue enhancement.
They're getting fucking grants.
Revenue enhancement.
They're getting
okay.
grants to fucking do this bullshit.
Uh-huh.
Drivers are distracted by cell phones, adjusting music, or putting on makeup, or, and they caught a chick shaving her tooch over here. Did you hear about that one?
No, I didn't hear that
Yeah,
one.
She was trimming her bush. And makeup while driving or putting motorcycles at greater risk by not focusing their attention on the road. I have no shit, Bill. I swear to God. The fucking guy told
me. I'm biting my lip on this
one. The fucking guy told me he pulled up next to her. Motorcycle cop pulled up next to her, and she was shaving her bush.
Mm.
Extra police patrols were also on alert for motorcycles who are not driving safely. Unsafe speed for conditions and lane turning are the top two. State Route 76, College Boulevard, Oceanside Boulevard, and Vandegrift Boulevard were identified as roadways that motorcycles frequently ride and locations where a high number of motorcycle crashes and violations occur. There are more crashes in most of these areas, Menes said. We're trying to focus on heavy traffic flow, rush hour traffic to noon. California motorcycle fatalities rose 18% in 2011. Why, Bill? Do you know why?
More motorcycles? I don't know. What?
People bought motorcycles that haven't been on motorcycles
right,
in a long
right,
time.
Don't have the experience,
because
right.
of the fucking gas crisis,
mm-hmm.
paying $4.59 for a gallon of regular,
mm-hmm.
they bought a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Did they fucking take the time to learn how to ride it? Did they
no.
take the time to go take the safety course?
Did they get the correct motorcycle? No.
No.
Yeah.
There are more, the number of motorcycle fatalities a year also peaked in Oceanside in 2011 with three fatal collisions. The following year ended with another three motorcycle fatalities. The two recent motorcycle fatalities were caused when a rider ran off the road and a rider did a wheelie and was ejected from his bike. That's the guy that died in the pond in the apartment complex.
Yeah, yeah.
The other guy got ran off the road by a guy who cut him off. Unsafe lane change. They blamed it on the rider. He said he was going too fast. Part of the cause for the increase in fatal accidents statewide is the upturn of the economy. As the economy improves, there are more people on the road. There is also an increase in novice motorcycle riders. Now, see? Now they're going to fucking defend it. Motorcycle safety training is strongly recommended. The course teaches ride.
And you and
top.
I agree with this.
Exactly.
And you and I agree with this.
I did it. When I got stationed here,
mm-hmm.
I had to take three courses and then pass the course on the base
right.
to get my license. It doesn't matter that I got my license off the base.
Right.
I had to, the DMV wouldn't give me the license until I passed the military
right.
course. Motorcycle safety training is strongly recommended. Out in public is not the place to learn how to ride a motorcycle. It's better to be prepared. San Diego Harley-Davidson Rider's Edge Training Course is a California motorcycle safety program that educates 300 riders a year. Derek Bergman, San Diego Harley-Davidson sales manager, said the 24-hour course benefits all riders. I picked this course when I bought my Dyna from them.
Uh-huh.
They gave me the course for free. That's about all I got out of Mike that day. Anyway, anyone who wants to learn how to ride, refresh their skills, and be safe on the road, can be safe on a motorcycle. Bergman said tips for safe riding depend on a rider's experience. Some universal advice for riders is to assume people don't see you, don't drink and drive, use common sense, and don't be in a rush. Wearing the proper safety gear is also essential. A motorcyclist must wear a Department of Transportation approved helmet. Now, here we go again, Bill. I want everybody to understand this.
There is no such animal. No such
ladies,
animal.
Ladies, I want you, anybody you see with a motorcycle, I want you to ask them this question. Did they buy a Department of Transportation approved helmet? Other recommended gear is leather gloves, a leather jacket, protective pants, boots, and sunglasses. Menace is as written as a police officer and a sergeant for, says 1 year, but it's beyond that, and riding since he was a teenager. His advice for fellow riders is to drive defensively. That's why I carry a hammer, Bill.
Defensively.
That's why I carry a hammer, Bill.
Well, I personally think the visual shock of your hammer in their face, that alone makes people concerned about you.
No, they always wonder what is sitting on top of the saddle.
That's what I'm saying. They give you space. Yeah.
Be safe. Obey all laws. Don't take unnecessary risks.
Yeah.
Ride defensively. Be aware of your surroundings and roadway surfaces. Look ahead for potential hazards. You know, I called about that fucking piece of plywood. It's been in the middle of the fucking road for 3 weeks. I stopped to get off my bike, and the guy told me I couldn't park the bike there. And I said, what about the plywood? He said, I'll call Caltrans. That was a week ago. It's still sitting there. So I guess when I leave at 2:30 in the morning, I guess I'm going to have to go out and take the fucking thing off the road in the dark.
Isn't it interesting that people in Rodeo Drive don't have potholes?
No.
People in Beverly Hills don't
have
potholes?
You know, the when I went up to L.A. Sunday, the exit for Sunset Boulevard was closed. So I had to come the back way through Beverly Hills and Rodeo Drive. Most maintained fucking beautiful roads I've seen in California in 30 years.
No graffiti, no dirt, nothing. It's a beautiful area.
Even a sign that tells you we don't allow speeding, we don't allow loud pipes. Please drive accordingly or you will be ticketed. And then I noticed they got cameras.
Go down to Compton. Go down into the barrios. There's potholes everywhere. Why does one
portion
of the city...
How many times have you come to my house?
To your house.
In the last 20 years, now they just resurfaced the streets.
Yeah. You don't have big semis coming and chewing the road. The roads just deteriorate and they don't get around to it.
Right. Be safe, obey all laws, don't take unnecessary risks. Ride defensively, be aware of your surroundings and roadway surfaces. Look ahead for potential hazards. Like that guy that opens his fucking car door. Respect other riders, cement is added. Don't be an emotional rider. It's not a raceway. The road is too commute. Bergman's tips for automobile drivers are to look when changing lanes and focus on the road. Bergman added that the lane sharing is illegal in California. Motorcycles often pass cars between the freeway, one and two lanes. Drivers should be alert and drive in the middle of the lane. Motorcycle safety enforcement operation patrols are paid for by the California Office of Traffic Safety grants to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
You know, we do have a
it's like that day we were in there with the
interrogation room.
In the interrogation room with the door locked with the heat on. And they about fell out of their chair when I told them they were getting $3,000 and when they were going to get them.
Now, we mentioned Sergeant Jimenez here in Oceanside, and we mentioned that he is obviously the expert in the field.
He's a legend in his own mind, Bill.
He has always been open to discuss or debate or argue with us. I mean, he's never shut us down.
No.
He's always said, hey, we got to do it this way. We disagree with that and all that. So people say, well, Bill and Phil are adversarial. We are not. If it's a rogue cop, we need to help them get more circulated. There is an officer, Sergeant Jimenez, and we do disagree on
Jimenez.
Yeah. But he has always been open-minded to sit down and say, let's sit down and talk about it. He doesn't agree with us a lot.
No.
But he does sometimes with them. Now, let me tell you, boys and girls, what my problem is regarding all the stuff that Phil had talked about. Splitting lanes, sharing lanes. The California law says you can do this no more than 10 miles an hour above the moving vehicles.
Wait. Before you step on your crank, Bill. Okay. Before you step on your crank.
Go ahead.
If the traffic's going 30 miles an hour, and you're splitting the lanes,
you
can't go 10 miles an hour faster than 30.
Yes.
So your only speed you can go is 10 miles over, which is 40.
That is exactly what I just said.
No, you said 30.
No. Okay. No. Okay. Yeah. 10 miles an hour. You can't. No matter what the traffic is doing,
you can't
go more than
10 miles
an hour.
Okay. Faster. So if they're doing 75, you can't do 85.
Right. Now the problem is though that when the traffic is at a full standstill or a stop because of an accident, Philip and I are not driving 10 miles an hour through parked traffic. We're rolling at 45 miles an hour. This is where the police seem to have a problem. If I'm going to ride at 45 and the guy next to me rides at 25 miles an hour, that's got to be where you feel comfortable. I am not going to do 10 miles an hour. Well, maybe one day if I get a ticket, I will. But the point is that for me, if traffic is moving, whatever, I want to do at least 45 miles an hour. And we just, that's the problem. Because if the traffic is stopped 45 miles an hour, that puts me way, way beyond. I don't care. And I suppose someday I'll get a ticket. I'll have no blame but myself. It is so freaking boring to do 10 miles an hour with a speed limit. I got places to go. I got things to do. This is my time in my life. So maybe someday I'll get it. And I don't suggest anybody to split lanes faster than they're comfortable with. But 10 miles an hour is nothing
I
want to do.
And the other thing I want to say about when you're splitting lanes, here's the thing. If you're going and you're up, you're riding, you're going 30 or 40 miles an hour between the cars.
Right.
Okay, Bill?
45
at the max.
I want to tell you.
Whatever.
Okay. That's what I want to travel,
I do it at 65, 70 sometimes. Anyway, if there's bikes coming up behind you, and they're coming at you fast,
from behind,
put your signal on.
Let
tell
them
which day, which way you're going to go.
Yeah. Well, you
signal. Because when you roll up on them, and they don't want to fucking move, that's when the tension starts.
Yeah. If you are in front of me and you're splitting traffic and you have concerns to where you only want to do 25 miles an hour splitting traffic, look in your mirror. If somebody is coming up that wants to travel faster,
get out of the
just
way.
Pull over.
Get out
What's
of the way.
Big deal?
The etiquette
pull
is,
over
the
and
etiquette
get back.
Is,
yeah.
Get out of the fucking
That's
way.
Right. You pull over, let them pass you, and then get right back in the lane again. Travel at your speed. We tell everybody over and over, do not travel at my speed. Don't travel at Phil's speed. You travel at your own speed. Don't try to keep up with anybody because that's where you make mistakes. Don't try to press anybody. If you're coming by me and you're bunzai, I'd probably pull over. I'm going at a good speed. You're going to... There aren't too many people that are going to...
Tell the fucking truth, Bill.
If I wasn't going fast enough for you, I would pull over. Let me say that.
Okay, there you go.
Most people like to have you lead the group or me lead the group because they can follow behind us.
Yeah.
Once the first bike goes through, the other bikes can go through because our lane's been established and the cars are aware of the first bike and now there are no more bikes going through there. But I do mean this. If somebody came by me, a monster bike, I absolutely would say that I would pull over and I'd be very comfortable with it. Because if you're doing faster than I'm comfortable, I'm not going to get out of my comfort zone for you. So I will pull over and let you go by. That's how I feel about that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
We just,
I know what we're doing. I don't think anybody else knows, but...
But
we're back again. We don't need to discuss, you know. No. You know where we got lost, boys and girls, again. He's got the machine, and, you know, he's doing, you know...
No, I just sent a great photo. I just told someone it was a nice photo.
I had a long conversation with that person, too, and I really thought that was done very tasteful, very classy. Quite a celebrity of your own self there. Howsoever, I don't think there's no other states but California that allow lane sharing, is there?
No, we're the only one.
No. Now you can do
Arizona
that.
Arizona was going to do it, and they didn't.
Now Europe does that. Almost all of Europe is lane sharing. They think that's very normal.
Uh-huh.
But, I don't know, maybe some of the other states don't have as much crowded traffic as we do. Certainly, New York, Chicago, there was bad traffic there, but I couldn't live on the freeway in an air-cooled motor doing 5 miles an hour.
Yeah,
or
that ain't going to be as long either. I heard they're going to put radiators on.
They're experimenting, a Harley-Davidson experiment, putting radiators on.
Boys, we got to call us from 818, Bill.
818-402. Do you want to tell us who you are, please, where you're calling from, and what would you like to talk about tonight?
Hi, sir. Joe Espinoza calling from Los
Angeles. Hello, Joe.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Just in here. I'd be on my ride instead of sitting in an office.
Okay. Yeah, this is kind of our office 3 nights a week right now, but... we have fun.
Well, you know, Joe, when I was a young man, my grandmother gave me some good advice. Marry for money the first time, marry for love the second time, but as usual, I did everything backwards. I married for love the first time, and I'm still sitting there, so I'm working my tail off trying to make money, but my grandmother told me how to do it right, and I didn't pay attention to her.
You mean the lights were on and no one was home?
Grandma said, Bill, actually, my grandma said to me, Bill, you're my first grandson, I love you, but your hand doesn't fit the shovel. I don't know if you're really meant for working. You better find something else out. And I've been working since I was in elementary school, grade school, whatever. I've always worked. So, Joe, what are you doing tonight? What's going on?
I try to tune into Phil and Bill's show as often as I can. And when I cannot listen online, I'll just call in and listen in. And I know Phil extended an invitation to call in a little bit earlier.
Absolutely.
Knowing our business at Espinosa's Leather Goods.
Uh-huh.
They're still getting 300 to 500 hits a week, though.
But what is he doing that we need to know about? Give us a good commercial plug. What's going on in the near future, Espinosa Leathers?
Well, we're having our first annual, believe it or not, Customer
uh-huh.
Appreciation Day at Original Mike's in Santa Ana. And we are welcoming all bikers to come and spend an early afternoon with us from 12 to 5 at Original Mike's, listen to some great rock music, listen to some with Big Rocking Randy. He actually played at our last event. Great rock music. And just hang out with a bunch of freedom-loving bikers and just have a couple with us and enjoy the day.
Now, the date on that is, would that be a Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
It's Sunday, October 13th, 1 week prior to the Love Ride. And we're actually really excited about this because this is the first time that Espinosa has put on a customer appreciation. It's going to be truly a customer appreciation event. We want a day where we could thank our friends, family, and customers. Sometimes those are synonymous, and just want to say thank you for 43 years of supporting us and our family business here in Southern California of custom leather for all riders.
Wow. You know, I'm a little bit lame as to if I was going up 5405, where would I get to the party? Huh? Give me some directions from San Diego.
Oh, for 10, yeah, you just come straight up the 5. As a matter of fact, the 5 will take you right into Original Mike's, right off the 5 freeway.
Yep.
I've been to Original Mike's, but it was years ago, and I couldn't imagine which the exit and all that was and all that.
Well, I unfortunately don't know it off the top of my head, but I definitely we'll be tagging you guys in again. It's just we just announced it officially today on our on the good old social media, Facebook and Instagram and all that other fun stuff that the kids are into these days. And we are definitely passing out flyers word of mouth, and we're hoping for a good showing. We want to show our customers a great time. Good food, good music.
I'd like to ask you, is there any way you can send a few flyers down? You know, my brother Mike and myself, we own Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside. I wonder if you could send a few flyers in the mail or hook it up with Philip so I can do some advertising in my shop for you.
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to do that.
Good. Okay. Any surprises you're going to tell us, or you want to keep any surprises? Any guests special, or you're just going to keep everything kind of a secret, close to the vest?
You know, it's interesting you should say that because our family did discuss having kind of like a special guest and things like that. But at the end of the day, what we decided was that every single individual who takes time out of their day to come out and visit us just to show us their appreciation for the event is our special guest.
We're not going to pull anybody out.
It's just everybody who attends is our special guest.
I think you know this part of the story, but the last time I was up there, Bill,
Their shop.
At their shop.
Okay.
They fitted me and everything, and I got my vest and all that. And then the old man, his father asked me if I wanted a drink.
Did you pay that by check?
No, listen.
The old man called me up and wanted, was your check any good? And I said, yeah. I hope that check was all right. I put my name on the thing.
Oh, he asked me, would I want a water or a soda?
Right.
And I said, yeah, I'll take a Pepsi. They went in the back. He didn't have any Pepsi, so he took sticky notes and wrapped them around the Coke can and wrote Pepsi with a big smiley face.
You guys have a good time at Rosarita Beach?
Yes. Most of my family went. I unfortunately didn't make the trek this year. This was the first in 3 years that I did not make it, but Martin Resendez and his group put on a great show down there. They put on a great event, safe and secure. But I unfortunately could not make it this year. But word of mouth from those who did attend, they had a fantastic time as always.
MC Adventure?
You're kidding. We spoke to your dad down there. Where was their dad heading for the bullfights?
We're going to the bullfights.
Yeah, did your dad go to the bullfights on Sunday? I think I was talking to him about that. Did he make it, you know? After the event?
Yeah, he absolutely did make the bullfights. This is something that when I was knee-high, we used to go to downtown Tijuana to watch the bullfights. But now it's... Now, it's banned in downtown Tijuana, so they only have it at Las Playas. And I think since my parents made the trek down there on a Sunday, they decided to relive an old memory and head over to the bullfights. They had a wonderful time there.
Yeah. Philip and I had a pretty good time.
We had a good time. We were emceeing for a little while up there, and they started, Bill wanted to get the ladies going, you know.
Well, I get some energy in the program. All about energy. Give me the mic. I want energy.
So he asked all the guys to come up for a hot buns contest.
Mr. Tight Jeans contest.
Hot tight jeans, whatever.
The women went crazy.
Yeah.
Volume on.
He kind of went crazy, too, when the guy started to open his pants and he was going to drop trout. And Bill told him, hey, motherfucker, if you do that here, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Okay, now listen, Joe, that's not the language I normally use, but I'm going to ask you something. If you were on stage and some guy started taking his pants off, you might get a little bit nervous, too. Nobody else pulled their pants down after that. I knock them off the stage, blah, blah, blah. Perhaps I did use a few chose words, but again, I turned around and the guy's pulling his pants down.
That boy's going
off the stage.
That's the first time I heard you use words like that on stage with a mic in your hand.
That boy was going off the stage with my fist, but anyway, you know what? It worked out okay, but I really was impressed by all the women that came out and said, you know what? We always have the wet T-shirt contest down there. It's always a lot of fun. Martine has a lot of fun. But thank you, Bill, for letting us women have some fun. And I want to say personally to any of the women that are listening, thank you for yelling and screaming for Phil and I to get undressed. We didn't, but at least thank you for thinking of us, you know. But we had some nice guys in there. A couple guys looked like they just came out of the joint. We had one guy look like Mr. Fluffy. But everybody that got up there had a good time, and I made sure nobody was laughed at. Everybody was laughed with. So anyway, next year, Joe, what's the chance I get you up on stage for the Mr. Tight Jeans contest?
I'll tell you what, if I keep out my workout regimen, then I'll give it a go.
Okay. Because I'm telling you right there.
Did you tell me to write that down?
Right, Joe's in there. All right, then. We got, you know, the guys all, we love the wet T-shirt contest, and the girls love the wet T-shirt contest. But we need to give the women more entertainment. And I was surprised that the guys up on stage, they all had a lot of club members in there. They were all cheering their club brothers on. So everybody had a good time. I was pretty pleased with it. I know Martine, some of the guys, we've never had a Mr. Tight Jeans contest. What the hell are you doing? We're okay, buddy. Trust me on this one. We're fine. And I think Phil and I, we carried off pretty good. But obviously
next year, if I go up on stage and participate in that contest, then Phil's got to be standing next to me.
Oh,
here we go.
I got
sucked in again.
I'd like to get involved, but I got the microphone. That kind of makes, I can't get involved in that because, you know, but all right now, we'll see about that. Now, let me explain the rules, though. I'd love you to take your shirt off, T-shirt off. The rest of your clothes stays on, Joe. All right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right,
thank you.
So why don't you bring all your friends down and want them to cheer like crazy people for you and all that. So what the heck. So you got a challenge on you now.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like I don't have enough challenges going on. You know, yesterday, Joe, I went to court, and I went into the bathroom. And as I was taking care of business, I heard the door open, and three guys from our city followed me into the bathroom.
Ah.
So this conversation got a little crazy. The guy in one of the stalls, I guess he cut it off and got up and ran out of there. And then when I seen him later, he said, I thought they were going to beat the shit out of you, and that was a place I didn't need to be. But it took three of them to follow me into the bathroom instead of the guy that wanted to talk to me just talking to me. He had to bring two buddies with him.
Well, they always travel in groups and pairs and all that stuff with that. But law enforcement, it's all about conversation, dialogue, and we will continue to do our best here in Oceanside, Orange County and all that, and Anaheim, to work with the police. But when a policeman becomes rogue, when he steps over the line, that's what we have to present our case to the officer, the watch commander, and the chief of police. We, Philip and I, think that regular communication with the police is okay. When they are wrong, they are wrong. But if we don't confront them, how the hell are they going to know they're wrong, right? So again, we are not adversarial police down there, Joe, just that we simply think that every now and then one of them steps over the line, and conversation, dialogue, sometimes ease the situation.
You know, gentlemen, I can share something, and this is directly from my experience with our family business, that we've had the privilege, and I do say privilege, of welcoming every color and every walk of life into our shop, into a peaceful, very neutral environment. Grew up surrounded by different colors, different times, different events. And the neutrality that we have been involved in is almost become a reality for us, that we don't see color. We see brothers with a common cause of writing, and we enjoy that. And like I said, this has been ingrained in me since I was 11, 12 years old to the age that I'm now, which is almost 30 years of seeing a neutrality in brothers that ride. So, you know, when we hear the stories and the back and forth, and it I think it's just difficult for us, and what I mean by us is us at Espinosa's, to kind of understand it. I mean, not understand it, because that's a whole different world, but just to swallow it and accept it as reality, because we just enjoy everybody. We enjoy everybody who visits us and blesses us with their presence at our shop and becomes a customer and or a friend or somebody that we ride with on the weekend. And so when we hear those stories, it's a bit disconcerting for us. We kind of have to just swallow it and just move on. But I have to tell you that we are definitely privileged, and it's something that we don't talk about once in a while. It's something we talk about very often. We talk about it all the time, how honored we are to have that relationship with the brothers that ride, and we enjoy it very much.
You know, I traveled around, Phil travels around, we're in Mexico, we're all over. A motorcyclist is a motorcyclist to us, and I give everybody a chance to show me that you're a man. Now, once I respect you as a man, then you can tell me I ride with this club or that club. It doesn't matter to me. If I don't respect you as a man, don't worry about that shit, because you're never going to have any respect out of me. I give everybody a chance, though, to come up and present themselves as men, and I will treat them as men. That's always been my philosophy. By the way, the big party in Tijuana Saturday night, the Solo Angels anniversary party is going on 8th Street, I believe it is. If you guys are in the neighborhood, we'll all be down there.
Well, we're leaving your place at
4:30. We're going down. And,
we're crossing the border, and then, we're going to stop at Sweetwater, pick up some more people, and then we're going to go across the border.
Yeah, we'll have quite a, you know. If you haven't done a Solo Angels anniversary party, they shut down two or three blocks, and every Mexican club from Mexico, and then all the guests from America that comes across the border, it really is an experience, a night of what we're talking about. Everybody is welcome. You're a guest of the Solo Angels, so they feel you shouldn't pay for the food. You're their guest. They need to pay for the food. They need you to be welcome in their clubhouse. They need to be welcome in their country. We bring a lot of Americans in there, but it's important for Phil and I to go down there because, like, groups like the Dorados out of Ensenada, Bucaneros, Roadrunners, I don't see these Mexican bike clubs that often, and my Espanol is it's non-existent. So when they bring new people in, it's kind of important for me to see their faces and associate with them. But I wish all the American clubs could come down into Mexico and see what a gathering is, Solo Angels Anniversary Party, and how they go out of their way to make everyone feel you are a guest in our clubhouse. You are a guest in our country. I rarely find that generosity out here in America. Too much politics, too much drama. But Mexico is absolutely beautiful. So anybody wants to join us down there for the weekend or for Saturday night only, we'll be down there. All right. So we're going to try to make Espinosa's a thing, you know?
Yeah.
All right, then we'll try to. Yeah. See, Phil puts everything on the schedule, right on the calendar, because things overlap, and we sometimes... Sometimes he has to go one way and I go another way. So we
Joe, I took the time to give Bill a day planner. I took the time to give him a day planner, Joe, and the fucking pen, Joe.
Yeah.
You know where that day planner is?
Where the day planner is?
My wife took it away from me. She says, I'm never going to write anything in it anyway. I'm carrying around a day planner with nothing in it. So she took it away. She goes, if you need where to go, just ask Philip. He writes everything down. So,
this thing had maps, time zones around the world, had area codes, everything he needed. So if anybody asked him a question, he had a cheat sheet.
Yeah.
And he let Kathy take it away from him. At least he made her get her own pen.
You know, there are some people that really are good at taking notes, and that's really your forte. I mean, you have enough going on for the next so many months, I can't even possibly keep up with it. I'm more a bit spontaneous, so, you know, what the heck.
You know,
what's that?
This is...
It's a pen.
This is the pen.
See, this is radio. They can't see you. You're going to hold a pen
when
up.
I got my date,
they
no,
can't
no.
see you.
When I grabbed all the day planners,
uh-huh.
my friend who's in charge of weld engineering...
Right.
Said, I got something for you. So he went in the back and he came out and he handed me this. He has a pen.
Joe can't see it. This is radio.
I'm telling you.
You better tell him a little more clearly. He can't see it. Go ahead.
It has a pen. It's like an eyeglass case. It has a pen in it. It has a tire gauge in it. And it also has a mini mag light, Bill, that works.
A mini, and that's a nice one, too. Is there a is there something to this story, or did you just kill 30
seconds?
No,
I was
going to
give you one of these. I was going to get you one of these, but
you're not now.
No, because Kathy will take it away from you.
I tell you what, you give me one of those, we'll put it in my saddlebags.
Okay,
there we go. Now you're talking about a pen, but again, Joe can't see the pen. You're talking about a flashlight. Come on now, let people know what you're talking about. I'll let you guys know if he reneges on getting me that flashlight, guys. Sometimes he's cheap.
Yeah, at least when I open my wallet, they don't rub their eyes, Bill.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. Maybe it's time, we need to take new challenges on, actually.
Uh-huh.
So what are we going to do at Joe's place? We're going to try to take a bunch of pictures? What do you want to do?
I said I'll do what I usually do when I get up there. I take a lot of pictures. I talk to everybody, and then I come back and I tell the story on the radio show.
Okay. Well, we can get one of them to talk afterwards, maybe.
Yeah.
And Joe would love to occasionally, if we can, get your dad to say a few words too. He's a nice man.
Yeah. My dad is just very short on words. He's not a public speaker. He gets very shy and choked up, and he just gets really nervous. I'm going to get him to say a few words on October 13th. I'll get him to say something.
And I wasn't being sarcastic when I said say a few words, because I know he's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And just thank everybody for coming.
When I talked to him before, when I finished breakfast, and I walked outside, and they were
breakfast where?
At the hotel.
Which hotel?
The Rosarito Hotel.
How the hell does he know that? Nobody knows who you're talking
about. He knows where his parents stayed.
All right, go ahead.
All right, listen. So after we finished breakfast, I walked outside. That's when I met him, and he said they were going to go to their bullfights. But I had to be somewhere else. So I would have loved to go to the bullfight.
You went to the red light district, didn't you?
No.
All right.
No,
all right. I'm just asking. I didn't know. I went with the whole group back to America so that in case anybody broke down, we could try to give them assistance. And I only had one problem.
And we stayed. Some of us
I don't know where you went. You tell me you didn't go to red light district. That's fine.
I was with Paul and Ralph. And
Joe's dad went to the bullfight. I went down with the whole group to get everybody across the border. I'm not asking you where you went.
Later on,
where you went.
Later on, when I was driving around downtown, I ran into Joe's brothers at a stoplight with their friends.
Don't tell me they were at the red light district, too?
No, they were at a red light, Bill.
I'm sorry.
Let me clarify.
You better clarify. I'll bust every chance I get, you know that? You know.
But, you know, Joe, I got an interesting story.
I doubt it, but go ahead, try it anyway.
We took about 100, I'd say 125 people to Ensenada. So, like Bill said earlier, everybody usually gets behind me. So now just picture this, Joe. Have you been to Ensenada?
I have been.
Okay. Now, you know where you make the right to go to town and you make that left to go down that road to the winery?
Just in front of the city.
Yes.
Okay. Now just picture this. I have a girl with her arms wrapped around me, sleeping on my back.
Not your wife.
No. Sleeping on my back.
Not your wife.
Exactly.
I'm just pointing this out.
Okay. Don't start no shit, Bill.
I ain't starting no shit. You should have had her on your bike. Why are you telling this on live here? I don't know.
Why not? I have nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Divorce lawyer will be talking to you. Go ahead.
Anyway. So I decide, I don't know if I had a brain fart or what, Joe, but I made the left. And 124 people went that way.
I put my right turn signal on. He put his left turn signal on. 150 people followed me on the right, and he was like the Lone Ranger.
Everybody. Bill being my buddy, as he is.
Oh, you know me. I'm going to cover it.
When they all got to the parking lot, the park outside the hotel, people were saying, hey, where did Phil go? Well, you know, there's that hotel that's down, it's a couple blocks down from where he turned, but it's on the right-hand side. He's probably over there with that girl.
Yeah. Yo, how could 150 motorcycles going down the road, one motorcycle turn off left by themselves? Now, Joe, I'm telling you, this doesn't, I have no idea why he and that girl turned off, and I'm not going to ask you what.
Sometimes the road has its own will, and you just have to follow it.
Oh.
That's correct. And to this day, it just went that way, Bill.
It was such a one of those moments in time, like it was time was frozen, because I'm looking. But once we're doing some high speed, so once he made the left, I made the right, there's no way he could correct it. There's no turnout, no exits. You were gone. And he just into the sunset, and I just took everybody down to the hotel, you know. What can I do?
We were talking earlier about the city that
and
we
live in. That's probably the only Ensenada story we can tell you about, because
the rest are a little, that's the X show on a different time. But, they're cracking down on drivers to prevent motorcycle accidents all over the place, Joe. And supposedly... maybe you want to put this word out that I'm telling you, but the motorcycle-only checkpoints, the wording got changed to motorcycle safety enforcement operations.
So now
everybody
they're
legal. Everybody hear me what I said. Yep. The motorcycle-only checkpoints...
Which is illegal.
The law passed the first of this year, which is illegal to do. So in order to get the money, the safety grants from the Office of Traffic Safety through NHTSA, they now call them motorcycle safety enforcement operations.
It's the same damn checkpoint.
Right.
Same damn purpose.
And Saturday when we go through San Diego,
they're having
the same thing. They're having a motorcycle safety.
The courts rule that you cannot just stop motorcycles only. So what they did was they changed the words. It's semantics.
Right.
Oh, no. These are just safety things. We're trying to take care of the motorcycles. It's the same damn ticket. Same harassment, same everything with that. Philip and I run with except exhaust pipes. We run with very, 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 very legal motorcycles because we are going to be stopped. So I tell everybody, if the law says they have turn signals, and you have to have turn signals, put the damn things on.
Dave, I'm going to tell you a secret.
Yeah.
They won't ask you to activate it. They just want to make sure you have them.
That's right.
They don't have to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how that... Joe, have you ever met Ted Alva before?
I sure have.
He's got those 9-inch 8 fingers?
Yep.
I don't know where the hell that guy can go. That guy must get ticket after ticket after ticket.
Yeah, and then he's got that big suede serape on all the time. So, you know, he's just a target for harassment. Or,
yeah.
Excuse me, safety checks.
There we go. Semantics.
Go.
Semantics. We want to make sure he's okay.
Because,
that's right.
You know, every time we turn, like, Joe, we have a guy down here now. He started taking helmets because there was a Marine 2 days from getting out of the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Got a helmet ticket. So he stuck around for the court date. I happened to be in court that day for something similar. I had a guy tell me my exhaust pipe was too loud, and I asked him where the meter was. Can't tell me that's loud without a meter.
That's
your
right.
Your bike is louder than mine, I told him. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Your bike is loud.
This guy gets up. He explains. He tells his side of the story after the cop talks, and the judge dismissed it because he said he had no visual proof.
Right.
You didn't take a picture of it. You didn't do this. Maybe you should have took the helmet. So now, because the commissioner told him maybe you should start taking the helmets, this guy started taking helmets. Now, it's the same guy where if you're wearing a full-face helmet, Joe, and you put on dark sunglasses underneath, and you know how all the new ones got the wide, almost an inch wide brim on the side now?
Right.
He's writing tickets because it blocks your peripheral vision under the windshield statute.
You know, I've asked this to people over and over and over. I'm going to talk to everybody tonight very quickly. If you have a questionable helmet and you have saddlebags, does anybody get the clue? I'll try it one more time. If you have a questionable helmet and you have saddlebags, put a damn extra helmet in the saddlebag. If they pull you over and they take the helmet away, you're not stuck alongside the freeway.
I'm going to tell you what.
If you drive a block away, they're going to get you again.
No. I'm going to tell you what, Bill.
All right.
If
you
they
tell
take,
me your
if,
side.
If they take your helmet.
Yeah.
Okay? If they take your helmet.
Right.
It's only $25 to ride without a helmet. It's a fix-it ticket. 405.22-4. It's a fix-it ticket. All you have to do. I had them do it to me downtown.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do. Get back on. Because they do it to think they're going to bust your balls. What you really want to fuck with them is when you jump back on the bike and drive away. They can give you a ticket,
put
you
on
can only
the
give
block.
You a fix-it ticket.
Yes, all right. But see, tickets are big people. And sometimes you get pushed to the edge. So I'm going to make a recommendation again. If you have saddlebags, put an extra helmet in the saddlebag. Just let it go. Sometimes you have a situation with a cop and he pushes you to the edge. Like that one we're going to talk about tomorrow with that gentleman who's yelling and screaming at the biker. If you just put your extra helmet on, you can go home.
Well,
you
I,
don't
got
want,
news,
I know you don't
I got
want to
news
do it.
For you.
Oh, you're a pain in the ass. That's
unless
right,
they, unless
you're
they
a
have
pain
a,
in the ass.
Bill, unless they have a warrant, you don't have to take off your helmet.
I understand
they
that.
They have no reason to look inside your helmet without a warrant.
But many of our friends do give up their helmet because they didn't know.
Because bullshit they know. They get scared or intimidated. It's like we tell them all the time. Shut up.
That's all I say, over and over and
shut
over.
Up.
Don't say yes
answer
or no, sir,
question.
No. Yes or no. Don't say F you, no, no, no. You can pull over, yes or no. Sign the ticket, and then what do you say?
Am I free to go? Am
he
I
says
being,
yes, you leave.
At the beginning of it, you should say, am I being detained?
Correct.
If he says no, like I do,
that
I drive
the
away.
Long, that should be the longest
I leave him standing
minute.
There. And I drive away.
And
I
know,
start the bike, and I drive away.
We tell people over and over, you get lit up by a cop, immediately pull over, shut your bike off. If you got a fat cop, he or she does not want to walk up to the bike with your engine running in case you take off. So you shut the bike off, leave the hands on the grips. That gives the cops, okay, they're not going to take off. Okay, we're trying to set the tone for this here. Do not reach in your wallet. Do not pull any ID out. Say on your motorcycle, if they ask for it, and I question everybody, I challenge everybody right now, to reach in your wallet, one driver's license, two registrations, have all three pieces of paper together.
You know, it's like I tell people all the time. Joe, you've seen those two attorneys, Shapiro and Leventhal, they give out those little black...
We had them in our shop,
Yeah, they got the clear thing on one side and the other on the... So what you do is you put your driver's license in the clear part, you put your registration and your proof of insurance on the other side, you take that and you put it inside your left breast pocket, which when they made my vest, Bill, they put zippers for me so I wouldn't lose nothing. So when I get stopped, I tell them, I'm going to reach into my left pocket inside, and I'm going to give you exactly what you asked me for, but I also pull out the tape recorder and set it on the seat. Same time.
That's correct.
Okay.
But the point you did say was that you did agree with me in a very roundabout way is you do have driver's license, insurance, and registration available.
That's all you need to do.
You don't need to reach in
and pull your wallet out and show them your whole life story.
But you don't need to be saying, oh, let me see, registration's over here. Wait a minute, I think I got the insurance. No, no. You've got to have it together so you don't get rattled. You say yes or no. Let me ask you. I'll be the car for a second. Mr. Hennigan, where are you coming from?
Point A.
And, sir, where are you going?
Point B.
That's it for that conversation. Why do we shoot ourselves in the foot? For God's sakes, why do people call in and say, well, I just stopped and had just one beer at the bar? Think.
Why are you telling me you had a beer at the bar?
Why are you telling that?
Stupid.
Why are you saying that? Phil says point A, point B. I'm coming from my home. Where are you going? To my home.
It's just like with your
keep
wallet.
Keep it simple.
It's
keep
just
it
like with your wallet, Bill.
Yeah.
If you remember last year, that guy that got paid on Friday, he worked through a little overtime stuff. He had over $1,000 in his wallet, and they accused him of selling dope. They found a baggie in his fucking saddlebag.
Mm-hmm.
He's stupid and let him. Well, yeah, go ahead and check everything.
There is no reason
This guy, just by telling him, okay, let's check everything, it cost him $28,000 by the time he was done, Joe.
When they asked me, can I look in your saddlebags, and I say, no. Oh, do you have something to hide? Then I say to them, what is in my saddlebag is not for your eyesight. It is my personal property. I refuse to allow you to go in my saddlebags. End of story. Now, they want to bring drug-sniffing dogs out, whatever. I'm fine with anything. The point is, even if the saddlebags are total empty, you don't open the saddlebags up and let them have access to it. You're not committing any crime. When they ask you, it's a question. Do you mind if I look in your saddlebags? I do not give permission to look in my saddlebags. We're Americans. We have rights. We have security. We have properties. I am not going to allow stuff going on. But stop giving in and saying, yes, it's okay. Okay, we got a little sidetracked there again. Sorry. We're talking to Joe about a nice grand opening he's going to have for customer presentation, and we got lost again.
Yeah.
Joe, keep us on the right track, all right, damn it?
No, that's okay. As a matter of fact, it's a great segue for me because my phone's about to die out, and I'm going to keep listening to you folks online. But thank you for the invite, and always fantastic show, very informative, and... But just to remind you folks, and we'll talk again, and I'll send you that information October 13th.
And give me one of your brothers to maybe you guys want to call in once a week or every other week. We're on three nights a week, so.
And I'd love to hear from your dad. Even your dad just says, hey, how are you guys doing? You know, let you do the talking when the brothers are talking, but get your dad to stop in or just quickly and say, hey, how's everybody doing tonight? Just something I appreciate. Yep. He's a nice guy.
You got it. Definitely will. Gentlemen, thank you both very much. You have a wonderful evening, and I'll find out now.
All right, Joe. Bye-bye.
There we go. You know, I love family-run businesses, and three brothers and a father, and they've been doing this for 30 years, you say?
No, 41.
41 years.
41 years.
Espinosa Leather's been up there in
you know,
Orange County.
He used to do this out of his car, out of the trunk of his car, to swap meets, the way I understand it.
Well, you're that old. You probably know that, wouldn't
you?
41 years ago.
He explained it to me.
Okay, yeah. Who explained it to you? Joe, the father?
No, the dad.
I didn't know.
Yeah, that's
a hard time following you. Well, you're irritating. What do we got? Another call?
Let's say hello to the ladies.
Ladies. Good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, we'll begin Tijuana Saturday night for a concave, a meeting of all Mexican organizations, and a few Mexican-American and American motorcycle clubs we'll come across. It's probably something I wouldn't want you ladies to come down and see because it is a bit on the rough side. But that'd be kind of interesting. I wish you all could join us for the Espinosa party, though. What's that, Orange County or is it what city? Do you know, Phil?
Yeah, Santa Ana.
Santa Ana, okay, yeah. That's going to be a great party up there, so we're going to miss that, unfortunately, with that. And Philip and I
do
are looking
at... Do they
have,
a website or something?
You can go to espinosaleathers.com.
Okay.
Or you can go to my blog and copy and paste the link there.
Okay.
They're in Rosemead, California. Been there for 41 years.
Okay. Well, I know the guys have been on before, the dad and the sons have been on before, and they're very, very nice, you know, people. And I know that they have events and stuff, but because I didn't know if they had a online website or if they just sold out from their store only.
Mm-hmm. They do have a website and all that. We give them great props for the fact that they ride their motorcycles. One of the brothers has something else to do, but the other two brothers and the father all hooked up with Philip and I in Rosarito, and we had a good party. And afterwards, the father left us. He went over to watch the bullfights. That's kind of interesting, whether you like bullfights. It's quite interesting to watch that. Did you ladies hear about that wedding invitation I threw out?
No. I had to get off the phone real quick, and I had to call back in. I'm sorry, because my phone was ready to die, so I had to plug it in.
Let me just quickly invite everybody. My good friend Grizz and Lefty, they're getting married. Michael Hallen and Tina Schaefer. He's a member of the ICHAP, the Vietnam Vets and Legacy Vets Motorcycle Club. We're having a huge party out at the Pala Indian Reservation Tribal Recreation Hall. And if you ladies would like to, email Grizz, G-R-I-Z, 760 at yahoo.com. And I'd love if you email him, tell him what state you're coming from, and tell him you got the invitation from Bill. You're all going to be at the wedding. That should scare the hell out of him. He gets pretty tight for spacing and all that. Please, if everybody email him, say, yeah, Bill's invited me. We're bringing everybody in from the different states and all that. He'd probably have a heart attack. I'd love to hear that. So if you do that for Uncle Bill, I'd appreciate that, ladies.
Okay, well, I'm not by a pen, so if possible, so can just send me a message on the information. That's fine. I'll do it.
All right.
Coming all the way from Chi-Town.
Tell them that. You're bringing all Chi-Town with you, yeah?
Yep.
Now, the Vietnam Vets and Legacy Vets are stand-up good friends of ours. They are going to be at the we do a lot of our events on the Indian Reservation because, first of all, because we can. And second
right.
of all, we have a lot of leeway or latitude. It's also another reason why we're in Mexico, because we have leeway and the latitude. Whereas in America, it's, honest to God, it's just shutting the doors on me.
That's why I said constricting.
Yes, constricting. Very, very, very accurate. We're going to roll down to Saturday, roll down to Mexico. And they'll shut three blocks down. Every Mexican motorcycle club will be there representing. They'll give Philip and I a chance to, again, Philip is fairly bilingual. I am not anything bilingual. But I need to meet the members of the Bucaneros, Rosarito, the Dorados, Ensenada. I need to meet their new people and shake their hand so I can associate a face. Because
right.
I'm not Spanish and they're not speaking English that good. I at least need to know who the new club people are coming in Mexico. Mexico's been very good to Philip and I. Not as good as this America. I love America. We could have more fun in Mexico without going to jail.
Understandable.
You know, the other day, Bill, the Supreme Court reiterated that it's okay to flip off a cop. They cannot turn around. Over.
But I'm really going to ask a favor to you. Don't do it. Don't do it, because they will go and get you.
Yeah, they seem to like so. Eunice, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good. The appointment's for 3 o'clock Tuesday, so this should be very interesting.
Well, again, I told you the other night that I would probably not include you in my prayers, but I asked my wife to include you in her prayers. I went home and I thought, how selfish of me to say something stupid like that. I'm including in my prayers, and I'm not really much.
Thank you.
It's not my wife, it's me including you, and I'm saying a prayer for you for that there.
Hey, listen, they're not taking me anywhere. I met with
That's
the bishop, and he says, hey, he doesn't want you up there yet. So I says, I'll thank him very much for me. You know.
Well, 2 years ago, I went down to Arizona with a friend of mine. There was 68, massive cancer through his whole body. They said to us, do not take him to Arizona. He won't get back. Well, we figured I could bury him out in the desert in Arizona as anywhere else, so he and I went. He came back, and I'm talking about Bob Murray, in case you're listening tonight, Bob. Bob came back, and the doctor said, I don't know what the hell happened. You're in better shape than when you left. 3 or 4 months ago, Bob and I had a big motorcycle get-together with a lot of different clubs in Arizona. Again, the doctor said one more time, Bob cannot go. He's too far gone. Bob and I went. Bob rode his motorcycle all the way over there. Doctor said, once again, I don't know what's going on with you and the motorcycle. Every time you take a long run with Mr. Kennedy, you're coming back stronger. Bob's going in for surgery. He's got, when you cancer has your whole body, it attacks everywhere. Bob and I
right.
are hoping he has a surgery coming up the end of this month, I guess, September, October. God willing, the creek don't rise. Bob and I are going to make one more run to Nevada. There's a big event going on in Nevada. We got to talk to some motorcycle clubs. So there's no guarantee, I guess, I'm trying to make. Bob should have been written off years ago. They forbade Bob to ride his bike. He said he's going to ride his bike. And it's a big dresser. It weighs an awful lot. So the point is, I guess, as my grandmother would tell me, God's not done with us yet. But when God
That's
calls
right.
us, it's time to go. I got no problems with that. I don't. You know what? I haven't missed anything. I don't have a single complaint. I don't have an enemy in the world that owes me anything or has done me wrong that I've not rectified. I am absolutely at a point in my life where there is nothing outstanding, where this dude ripped me off or something. No. In my life, everything that had been paid has been paid out. Nobody owes me anything. I'm enjoying my life completely, but truly, if this is our final days, we should live that like we care about it. And I like what Eunice is doing. I like what Nora's doing. We're out there trying to help other people. You know what I mean, Philip?
Tell me
yeah,
why.
Somebody said we're going in and out. That's because they said that they're having some trouble with the server, Henry, due to the weather. So if,
what weather? Where's it funky at?
Riverside.
Oh, okay.
Out east. So it's probably affecting it back east, too.
Ladies, can you both hear us okay?
Yep, I can.
Oh, okay. All right.
I can. They're just playing games, that's all.
You know what, that's
playing
okay.
Playing games.
We're not going to get frustrated. We're not going to give up. We're going to
no.
continue to expand our circle of friends, make new friends, and be able, as Americans, talk about anything we want to talk about. My good friend, I knew he's... Go ahead, dear.
Go ahead.
Well, I want to say hello to my good friend, Billy, who just came back from New York. He's got a lovely lady and a wonderful baby. He drove out to New York to visit his family and friends. He's very much interested in the club in New York. That's where he came from. That's where his family's from. That's where he wants to go. So we came back in town last night. Billy, I know that you and I are going to get together on Sunday to say hello and to say goodbye. Because now Billy's packing up everything he's got, and he's saying, I love California, but all of my family is in New York. All of my friends I grew up are in New York. He's out of the Marine Corps, and there is one special club in New York, one special club in New York, and they're waiting for him to make the decision, make the jump. I'm asking him, because he just had the baby, to wait a year.
Nah, a little longer than that.
Well, you know, I'm hoping he waits what he waits and all that, you know. Anyway, Billy, I know you just came back and you probably actually sound asleep, but I know you listened to the show. We're glad you're back in Cali, even though in 2 or 3 days you leave it again for the last time, so what the heck. Something about those East Coast people, I guess. You just can't get that out of your blood. Is that true out there?
Well, you know,
Bill,
I can leave.
I'm back to Chicago October 16th.
Is it okay for you to go back? Do you have any outstanding tickets?
No, everything's good.
Okay.
Yeah, I had my brother check it out first.
All right.
I had him call my uncle.
I can see them waiting for you at the airport. Mr. Hannigan, come over here.
That's if I can't get out of the airport here.
We've got a special request from the Oceanside Police Department. You know, Eunice, when I went back to Boston a couple of years ago, and my wife and I, we flew in, and I'm going to tell you, she said, "Who are these people?" And I said, "That's the Boston Police Department." And she goes, "They look like a football team." She said she never saw cops bigger in her life. And I said, "Oh, as a kid, I remember they were giants." But I was in shock at the size of these cops.
They're all
doing
roids. They're all doing steroids.
Yeah. Oh, of course they are.
Bad mouth, PD. You're going back there.
I'm not worried.
You know. Hey. You know, that's, they have to be big. I mean, we've got some kooks that live around here. You know, they have to be big.
Yeah. 6 foot.
I don't know if I'm
220. I walked in the police, I mean, into the airport, and my wife said, I look like I was, like, skinny. She was built, these people are giants.
Yeah, yeah, they are. They're, especially around the airport there, you know.
They looked impressive.
I always take a limousine, and I, you know, when I have to fly out of there, I can't be bothered to have somebody drive me in. It's not worth it because, you know, it's very expensive. You can't park anywhere. You're trying to get out of the car, and the state troopers are pushing the cars. You know, you can't stay there long. And it's not worth it to put other people through that aggravation, you know. So I just take the limousine in, and they drop me off, and that's the bottom line, you know.
Right.
So, but it is. I mean, it's outrageous. Hey, when we went into Boston last week, and I got it 2 weeks ago, or was it 3 weeks ago, they charged us at the hospital. How much do you think they charged you to park your car? At the hospital now.
$10.
Now, if you're there for the day, it was $36.
Wow.
You know, my wife is her favorite hospital, her insurance says she goes to Scripps Hospital, which is a very, very good hospital out here, and it's in La Jolla, so if you don't know La Jolla, that's a nice neighborhood to be in. She's got a handicap, MS, diabetes, et cetera, et cetera. The hospital, when I was there last month, they said, "Oh, by the way, we will no longer honor handicap tickets. You will have to pay to park." Mm-hmm. We will still have handicap once you're inside, but you no longer have special rights and all that. You have to pay to get in, or should be pay when you leave. Get the ticket when you go in. I thought that was disgusting. A hospital making a million zillion dollars telling us handicap people that we will no longer honor it. Yeah.
Yep, it is, you know. It really is. When I had surgery in there in 2001, of course, two of my children drove in, and the day I was going to have surgery, and my husband picked up the tab for all of them.
Oh, there you go.
And picked up the tab for their meals, you know. And they're grown, and he shouldn't have to. And that's what I told my children. He shouldn't have to. And he's not going to do that this time. You know, especially when they're grown up and they have good paying jobs.
Yeah.
I decided to have it here in Worcester. Only because it's a convenience. And we are now the out of 50 hospitals nationwide, St. Vincent is 50 in the nationwide for heart surgery, so you can't go any better, right?
No.
So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have it done here. So
well,
hopefully it'll be, get it over and done with. But I'm real optimistic now, you know. I feel better today. I'm not nervous like I was before. I think it was just the anticipation of, you know, let's just get the friggin' thing done, you know.
Yeah.
I just want to get it done and over with and get better. So, and it will be. And I will be better. And I'll be out there fighting with you guys again. Telling you dirty jokes and all that stuff, you know.
And how excited the doctors made her.
Oh, Jesus. I even got it marked off. This is not the 19th hole that you're playing in.
I told her to get a black marker and make sure she writes where they're supposed to go.
Yeah.
So she wrote, this isn't... Oh.
This is not the 19th hole. Well, I told him that when I was when I had my hysterectomy. Sure.
This is kind of, can you make a note of this here, Kate? I'd like you to ask the doctor a few questions, okay, before the surgery.
Okay. All right.
I want you to ask him, number one, doctor, did you sleep good last night?
Mm-hmm.
Doctor,
okay.
Did you and your wife or significant other, did you fight last night or this morning? Doctor, did you have a good breakfast? Doctor, have you had your coffee? Doctor, do you need time to have a cigarette before this starts? Make sure questions. I want to make sure you got it. If he's having a bad day, get another doctor right away.
Okay, I will. Okay. Well, they said he doesn't have a personality, but my girlfriends, I have three of them that are nurses at the hospital, and they said if anybody can make him laugh, Eunice will.
You give him a whole list of.
I will. I'm going to ask
questions. Why don't we ask them questions, you know? Yeah.
I do ask questions, though. I don't fool around. I do ask them questions. They might get irritated, but they do answer me, so.
Well, I think they appreciate the fact that somebody even cares to ask the questions, you know?
No, I do. I do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes my husband says I ask too many questions, but, you know, you never get an answer if you don't. That's
you know, I don't know why
the
doctors are...
Oh, yeah, I'll give you an answer. Am I being detained or am I free to go?
Here we go and leave. I don't know why all the doctors I know are also paranoid about the motorcycles. When I tell them you treat daily people with surfing injuries, car injuries, you fall down, slip in the bathtub... I said, why is it you people are so concerned about motorcycles? He said, well, the doctors and I had to say, well, Bill, we see them on the freeway, and that's what scares us. I said, but where you get injured is where you get injured. And I like to mess with them. I say, aren't you right with Jesus? Because if you're right with Jesus, you should be ready to go when he calls you.
Right.
Why should you be how you go? Surfboard, motorcycle, wild sex in a hotel room somewhere. Wherever you go, it's your day.
You know, I got to tell you about a friend of my girlfriend. Her son-in-law had a wonderful business, and he rode motorcycles. Well, he decided this day not to wear his helmet, and he was coming off the expressway, and you know how they blow the walls when you get a lot of rock? You know, they blow them up. So he was coming around this thing, and didn't his bike slam right into that wall? And he had no hat on, no helmet.
Well, even if he had a helmet on, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to survive something like that anyway.
Well, let me tell you, he really, he's got like a mind of a 2-year-old. You know, they have to write down everything for him, you know. And Joni said, why didn't God take him? Because he wouldn't have never wanted to live this way. Because he was such a free-going person. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's so hard for the daughter. The daughter's trying to run the business, and she was a banker, you know. Here's my husband.
Well, you know, in the state of Washington, now we have PAD, a physician assistant death. And
really?
If you are in a long-term program, illness, and all you're going to do is let the doctors and the government suck all your money, if they can't cure you, I don't see a problem with that. I'm not suicidal, but if I thought the rest of my life I was just going to take the money I had and let the government or the doctors suck everything away so my children would get nothing, you know, I'd be okay with that. I think that makes sense. You have you speak to a psychiatrist first, and then you go in, you have a cocktail, and the cocktail puts you to sleep. Pretty damn basic to me, you know?
Yeah. I wouldn't want, I seen that, Bill. I seen that when my oldest boy, and I wouldn't want to put my husband and my children through that. I seen the life supporting machines and that, and it's not worth it. I mean, people just linger, and it's so hard. And I worked with head trauma patients, you know, kids that were in car accidents and stuff like that. It's not a nice thing. And some parents just can't let go. They keep them as long as they can.
Exactly. Here's, we got a couple of calls. We have a call of 8621 and 818-497. You tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what you'd like to talk about tonight.
Hi there, this is Cheryl. I'm calling from Winnetka. How's it going tonight, guys?
Doing fine. What do you want to talk about special?
We're just looking at
this. What I thought about was, actually, I just tuned in. I'm cooking dinner, and the topic on hand was talking about maybe if it's bikers, let's talk about them. You've got the, right here, baby.
Love ride.
Save the date. The love ride is coming up.
Philip is showing me a picture of you and one of our mutual friends. Is he standing on that ladder or something?
I think maybe I'm standing in a hole.
Guys, he's wearing a black, like a wife beater shirt and a some type of a little hat, little cap on. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was quick, too. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Him squirt, or when was he going to grow? Something like that. I just, I had to poke him in the...
Yeah, it was what do you think about either one? Both you grab in. Okay. Did anybody want to talk about the boot ride?
Did I lose her? No, I'm here.
Tell us about the boot ride. You're at the boot ride, obviously. Well, your twin sister
was. That was so much fun. I enjoyed myself immensely. The music was spectacular. The people, the crowd, the love for the vet. I must have hugged and shook. I can't even tell you how many hands. I was so proud. So proud.
Wait, you didn't shake my hand or hug me.
I sure as heck did.
She has standard.
Yeah, I'm just giving her shit.
Remember, I shadowed you, and so you got me, you and another friend. Thank you all. Got me back there so I could at least see the cast. Being 4'10", the way the crowd was, I wasn't even going to attempt at shaking a hand or even waving hello. It was just insane. So I stayed at the stage and really just enjoyed it all.
Phil's telling me we also got Melody on right now. Are you live, Melody? Just say hello.
Hi, Bill. This is Melody.
You want to tell us about the boot ride, some of your experiences?
Sure will. The boot ride was amazing. Started out at the USS Iowa. Lots of military down there. Talked to many people there and said thank yous. It was really nice down there. The ride-in was kind of different. Lots of riders. Once we got back to the party and VIP event, everything went crazy. It was amazing. From the VIP exclusive behind the scenes and after party to both the bands were amazing. I was married for about 3 hours. Yes, sir.
This is California. This is wonderful state. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because people are curious. Hell, I'm curious.
On what? My wedding?
Oh, you got married for 3 hours.
a mutual friend had noticed that I was trying to come up a little closer from the crowds. The crowds were just enormous, and I was covering photos like I do every year and thanking some people. And there was a little bit of an event where a man pushed back the crowd really hard. So I decided to walk around instead of ending my day, and I seen a mutual friend that seen me and raised his hand and called me over there, asked me what I was doing over there, and had me walk in. He told the staff, "This is my wife. No ifs, ands, or buts. Let her in." So that's where I met with you.
I like the way you think. We're actually getting ready for, we have a little run down to Tijuana this weekend, Saturday night. There's a conclave. All the Mexican organizations and many of the Mexican-American and many of the American bike clubs will all be meeting in Tijuana for a big, big party, for the Solo Angel anniversary party. But I know that, let me deviate again, I'm sorry. You ladies, since you're more familiar with the area than I am, next year I was thinking about going up there. This year, Philip and I split the duties. I went south, he went north. But is there a decent, or is there a close-by hotel? Because I like to hit the after-hour party and maybe stay rather than jump on the bike and drive 2 hours when I get home after that.
Well, Bill, if you go the day before, you can go to the barbecue, the Heroes Barbecue.
Yeah.
And then you stay up there the next night, and then you can ride and ride, or you can do skip the ride and go right to the event.
There you go.
But I'm thinking about the after-hours party. Is there any hotels you think close enough to it? If they keep it at the happy ending again, do you see any decent hotels?
On the strip there, I'm not sure, but I can ask around and get back to you on the next show or send you a private message. There is several, but it's a good idea to maybe just stay with a few of the guys that rode in as well and gals. That's a good question. We'll have to find that out.
Several of our friends have been nice enough to say, well, Bill, just stay at my house.
Right.
And I've already thanked them very much. I don't like to put people out. I mean, you're out riding all day. You're tired. You're going to bring friends or guests to your house. I don't feel comfortable asking that. So I'd rather party with my friends, get a hotel. So when they go home, they can just go home and relax and not worry about trying to be nice to me and all that, you know.
Right. That's really nice of them, but I understand. You want to relax, get in your room, relax, and enjoy the ride the next day. And, that's what it's all about. It's the way to enjoy it.
Relax.
You have several other people in the same place. You want to walk outside, talk, smoke a cigarette or whatever, they're there.
Exactly. Now, I know you guys don't do too much of Mexico. You were not at the Rosarita Beach party, right? Neither one of you ladies?
I was not. I was invited, but I did not go.
And I'm assuming that first of all, you ladies don't belong at the Concave anyway. This is all Mexican. This is all just hard stuff. This weekend is not really a social thing per se, where you just have a good time. I'm hoping that we can get your girls down to Ensenada or Rosarito.
They're going to Vegas.
I'm still talking about Mexico.
Okay.
Maybe we get the girls down to Ensenada for Carnival time. Braids, floats, carnival, dance on the street. A lot of people from L.A. going down.
We'll talk
about that in the future. We'll see how you feel.
Okay.
So the next event is...
You talking about the Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Carnival.
Are we going to do the skull ceremony?
No, unless we start one up ourselves.
Okay.
I was going to say quickly was, ladies, you know about the party at the Espinosa's Leather?
Excuse me?
No. Philip, you want to give them a little...
Well, Espinosa's Leather is going to have a customer appreciation day in Santa Ana.
And when is it?
Yeah, October 13th, it's a Sunday, for a love ride.
Yeah, that's an idea.
You girls live close to Santa Ana, or how far away are you?
Yeah, not too far away from there.
Okay.
I'll send it to both of you right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll be perfect.
Any excuse to get out there and enjoy the company... the wind in my face and the feeling of ultimate freedom.
So after that, we've got tentative, the love ride. I'm not sure if both of us are going to make it.
We're going to be doing a public service announcement for the Love Ride. So we'll be looking for people to be in the background.
All right. You girls going to do the Love Ride?
Absolutely.
All righty. That takes us up next. Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Are you girls not afraid of Las Vegas?
I've already got
I'm hoping that
time.
We can stay at the Golden Nugget. No, is that what I'm
saying? I'm staying at the Golden Nugget.
Golden Nugget. I want to try that Shark Tank. Did you girls see that?
Yeah.
Did anybody try that? No?
Many people I know have. I haven't yet.
Well, how about we all try it together this year?
There you go. That's an idea.
Get between
great
two
idea.
Women.
Well, I
need to get between two women.
I'll go first. It's not, you know, or last.
You
even.
Go first. You go first, and we'll see how it goes. No, I hear people go there not only because it's the main hotel for the event, but because
right.
of that Shark Tank is amazing. I keep hearing about it. So it's something, to try.
I've seen it. Whatever reason, we didn't do it because this party then, you know, I'm going to make time this year. If we can get a few of our friends, we'll all hit the Shark Tank together. How's that sound? How about you?
There you go.
The Shark
Tank? Right.
All right. My God, we got something going on today. And what
if
they throw chum in?
I just got an instant message, Bill.
Okay.
So you are aware that the name of the Million Muslim March planned for 9/11 on Washington, D.C. has been changed to the Million American March. Still sponsored by the same terrorist-affiliated people, the biker groups are still planning to ride to Washington the same day.
Having a little difficulty understanding who is the people putting this event on. I'm having a hard time finding out who are going to be the keynote speakers at this biker event. If anybody finds out about that, let us know. I'd appreciate it. I'm getting some vague information. Are you girls familiar with this Million Bikers in Washington,
yes.
D.C.?
Yeah,
you heard any more?
Million bikes to D.C.?
Yeah.
I
have
know
you heard anything about
person.
Like who the key speaker, who the keynote speaker is going to be? Who's
there
putting on? Have you heard anything at all?
There
anybody?
Is on their page. My phone is not going. My internet's not going. But there's
all the info, the key speakers, and the people involved in it is all on their Facebook page. They're working on a website now.
All right.
They are not. They also are having a problem with a duplicate site going up, so they do list original people, founders of this event on their original Facebook page, not to get confused. It's something I really want to do, and considering if there's other people riding out from California and L.A. area, it's going to be a little tricky because it's the same
they
time.
They sent me a message saying looking for donations to buy gas.
And now, the only donations they're accepting is gas cards, that kind of stuff. No cash. The correct site is not asking for money or donations. They're asking for gas cards and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking for money. So they're just looking to get there and get the word out and get the job done is what's going on. I wish I could pull it up right now for you.
Ladies, the number one problem that we have as the motorcycle community is we don't have a leader. We don't have a person that speaks for us. Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki, Harley-Davidson. We constantly play Harley against Yamaha, Yamaha against Suzuki. We don't have a leader. We have regional
correct.
Leaders or regional people that give, you know, speeches and all that. But I have been looking for a man or woman from Kentucky or Virginia or Texas or California to stand up and be the voice for all of us. That's why I'm kind of interested who some of the keynote speakers are going to be. I've always thought that if we, the motorcycle community, could come together and trust someone so that they would say that they're speaking for the whole motorcycle community, we would be a force to be reckoned with. I'm not trying
it
to be violent.
Would be amazing.
And I swear to you, if it's a man or a woman, I really don't care. I'm looking for a strong person in the motorcycle community that's going to step forward and say, no ego, no attitude, none of that stuff that I hear at some of the meetings and all that, me, 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 me. Philip and I have always said the message is more important than the messenger. I would very much like the speech. I'd like to hear what people have to say. I'd like to know, maybe, again, from Virginia, Kansas, who knows, is there somebody going to show up and speak for us? I think that'd be tremendous.
Yes, it would. I agree. That's something that in these times is needed, you know, it should have been done, and it's a very good idea, and if you have some people in mind, or if anyone else does, please let him know. Let Phil know. Phil and Bill know.
Well, I'm looking at the one. This is not the bogus site. The bogus site has only 40 or so folks. Our event and the page have over 1,800 riders signed up. This event goes with the site below. All you have to do is look at the numbers. We have over 33,000 likes, almost 40,000 now. And then that would be your first clue. The 2 million bikers to D.C. purpose. The goal and purpose of this ride, number one, we are the American people and we'll stand by our Constitution as written, not as interpreted by this or any other previous administration. We will stand by our Bill of Rights as written, and we stand for America. That's the story.
The idea of us all coming together in Washington, D.C. is surrealistic to me. I think that logistically and financially it's going to be very difficult. However, I'd like to see at some point in time, maybe a 9/11, every single year, every single state at the same time hold a rally.
Yes.
If every state had a rally on the same day, the same time, every newspaper would cover that, everybody would cover this. I don't know, again, if this event is going to pull off successfully as I hope it's going to be. I just don't know. But perhaps every state, because I'd go to wherever it was with that, if knowing that all across, plus Hawaii and Alaska, I don't mean to ignore those people, every state there is, we all get together for one day and listen to our leaders. If we have any leaders, let me ask both you ladies on the phone right now, is there anybody in the motorcycle world that you think is a potential leader for the motorcycle people? That's the problem I'm having.
I have to really give that consideration.
Yeah, that's the problem I'm having, too. I'm around a lot of things. I'm looking for the one voice that's crying out in the wilderness that says, hey, I'm representing you. And by me, I'm talking about all of us. Somewhere out there, man or woman is going to step up to the, maybe at this meeting, and we can hear them. And if they're speaking from their heart, we'll know it. We'll be able to believe them. But we're fragmented. How can it be so many of us and we don't know what's going on in New York? We don't know what's going on in Texas. That's why Phil and I have this show here to communicate with people. So ladies and all the listeners out there, think about the importance of us having a leader. Now, I mean, we've got people that run a Bait and Bam and Bolton. These are people in the community.
Well, like I said, Bill, if I could get 100,000 people to not wear a helmet for one day, I'd shut down the court system for 6 months. Just one day.
I remember when the helmet law was passed, and I'll be polite. I won't say the political arm. I said, let me and 50 of my people get together. We'll ride downtown San Diego. I'll shut the bikes off during traffic. I already did research. I contacted the tow truck companies, and they said that if you can start your vehicle up before they hook you up, they can't hook you up and take you away. So I told name of the group here, I'm sorry. I told them, 50 of my people, we'll go downtown, San Diego, I'll shut the city down. When they start to hook us up, by one, by one, by one, eventually we'll get all the bikes started up there. And the political arm said to me, Mr. Kennedy, you're too revolutionary, you're too radical. We'll need to do this in court. And that, but look how long I've been waiting. And I'm not just talking about just the helmet law. I'm talking about all motorcycle rights. I've been waiting for a long time. And
it's just like I told you earlier, Bill.
Yeah.
They passed a no more motorcycle-only checkpoints, and they changed it. What do you think they changed it to, ladies? The motorcycle-only checkpoints.
Was illegal in California.
Wow, what did they change it? I didn't, like, honestly, you know what, when we were talking about this the other day, I was attributing it to a car. So I have never had the misfortune of being tagged by those nasty little things.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
So what they've done is, tell us how they rearranged it.
Okay.
What semantics they used?
The bill was written as motorcycle-only checkpoints. So in the
that was illegal in the state of California.
Right.
And what did they do?
They changed it to motorcycle safety enforcement operations.
The same check, the same police, the same tickets for your pipes being too loud or no turn signals, the same everything, different semantics. Now,
I heard about that.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say that you need to take your turn signals off, run loud pipes. I'm not saying that at all. You've got to be aware of your community.
Hey, even if you don't have
turn... Where the hell are our leaders?
If you don't have turn signals on your bike, you put them on. They don't have to work.
Yeah.
They just have to be there.
Ladies, have you ever thought that... Have you ever listened to anybody in the motorcycle world speak that you really thought that... maybe this man or woman could be our future? I unfortunately listen to many, many people. This is going to piss some of my good friends off. I haven't found that person yet. I've been looking
one person that I have in mind, don't know, and that would be you.
No,
Amen.
No, no,
I don't know
ladies.
If that would happen, but it would be you. You know the laws quite well. You know what's going on.
Ladies, thank you, but we need to set the bar a lot higher than Bill and Phil.
I understand.
But we do thank you.
I understand.
The nicest thing you said to us.
But to find someone with the heart and somebody with such a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we could find someone of your stature, you know, either one of you guys that, you know, that are really, really, that care deeply. Good advocate.
Hey, I tell Bill all the time, I'm not just a good-looking guy, I'm smart, too.
There you go.
Hey, I want to tell everybody, I got a compliment today.
Oh.
I don't get...
How much did it cost you?
No, man, I'm going to tell you, they said, man, you've got a great-looking face.
Yeah?
Now, I've been told a lot of things in my life, but I've never had anybody said, you have a great-looking face. Usually, Bill, you stand for a lot of this, and you've got a good voice, and you've got energy, and I've never had anybody walk up and say, man, you got a great-looking face. And, I'm just sharing that because I don't get compliments often. I've often been told I have the perfect face for radio. I get that an awful lot. I think when I used to fight earlier, I used to keep my right hand down too low.
You should have kept it up.
I know.
Wait. You know, I'm going to tell you a quick story. You know, Bill's had over 100 bar fights.
Yep.
100. He's lost 99. The only one he won was only because that woman showed up drunk.
And she's demanding a rematch. In the fourth grade, my father had me boxing in the ring. And the very first match I had was a guy much, much older than I was. He'd been in many fights. I never fought. The end of the first round, I get back to the stool, and my father said... Now, this is understand why I have emotional deep scars. My father said, Bill, coincidentally, my father's name is Bill, I'm Bill. He said, Bill, is it your plan to let him keep hitting you in the face till his arm gets tired?
Hey,
and I kept thinking, what advice is that you give a kid in the fourth grade? Is it your plan to let him keep hitting you in the face until his arm gets tired? I'm definitely not a good fighter. But apparently I took too many, my nose has been pushed over here and over there. But you know that, you know, that goes with that. Ladies, let me ask you something. Just talking out of the, do you think we could ever find a woman leader in the motorcycle community? I'm saying I would leave that. Then thank you, because most people say, no, it's got to be a man. I don't see why.
It should be a man. It should be a man. But if there's a woman that can advocate, you know, if there's, it's a possibility. Nothing's impossible.
You know, when I was speaking up at, we had Mount Soledad. It's a veterans organization. It's a monument. I was speaking there on top of the mountain, and I was speaking about rights, and I was talking about the need for the women to step forward. And I was looking at the faces. Most of the guys figured out they're not going to do nothing. I didn't see the confidence in my women friends, because Philip and I had asked women to be assets or liabilities. Philip wants to surround ourselves with women who are assets. But when I was speaking about the need to bring women up, I was high up on many stairs, elevated speaking. I didn't feel the confidence. I don't know. I'm hoping, again, to me, it's a man or a woman. I don't care. We need the job get done. But I'm hoping the women out today listening to this will say, you know, Bill, I want to give. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
We just need somebody that wants to give.
Right.
And of course,
I'm sure
it takes,
you speak for a lot of bikes around the whole world.
Well, we speak, but are they hearing the message? Are they listening to us, or are they just saying, yeah, you're right on, we agree with you? This is where I get a little concerned. When I'm speaking at great length and I'm realizing people are saying to me, yeah, I'm with you all the way, and what they're saying is, well, let somebody else do it. No, we can't let somebody else do it. We don't know if they're going to step up to the plate.
Yeah, a good suggestion is maybe to bring this up a few times in the next couple months. It's really important. It's something that should be done and should have been done, and it's a good topic to start now.
Right. I have been speaking for the past year at every big event that they ask me to speak about, human rights, veterans' rights, or whatever, and I talk about the need. And women are saying, oh, yeah, that sounds good, Bill, but this, I don't want to get up and do that. Why not? We need a leader.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what your gender is. I really think that we just need somebody that can give. But the stress or the strain on that person would be terrible. Not to mention the FBI.
Overwhelming.
Everybody would be checking you up and down, Homeland Security, because you're obviously a terrorist. You're trying to start. You organize all these bikers. I get accused of so much stuff.
You're kidding.
But you have no idea. Investigation, the stuff that, why is he talking about this? Who's he trying to organize? I'm not organizing anybody. I'm trying to wake up people's conscience.
Right.
You're talking about
they hear you on the radio?
Oh,
and
they hear.
From...
When I'm speaking in public, they're investigating me. I've been around for a long time. As you may know about my history, it's entertaining, my life's history. The fact that my connections with my club friends of all sizes, all shapes. So I've had friends for 30, 40 years just because they put a patch on. I don't change now. I keep my good friends who they are. But I've been under investigation forever. I'm not concerned about investigation. I have nothing to worry about or hide. My concern is, again, that if we do have a leader, they're going to have to really say, I'm going to open myself and my family to all the scrutiny.
That's a tough one. But if they have the knowledge and the passion to do it, it can be done.
Yeah. I'm not being humble now. People that know me know that I'm not humble. I don't think I'm not conceited. I think I'm very strong-willed. I enjoy speaking. I speak with emotion when I'm up on stage and all that. But I'm still thinking that I don't think that the message I have is that start reaching out to people. Somebody is going to step up one day, and I'm going to say, there, that's the man, that's the woman the motorcycle community needs. I love all the charity things we do. I love all the parties we do. Philip and I try to ride our bikes till the wheels fall off. Luckily, we own, myself, my brother, Mike Kennedy, own Kennedy's Custom Cycles, so we can slap new wheels on anything we need to do to keep ourselves riding and riding. But ladies, if ever, just keep your ears to the ground when you go to Cook's Corner, when you go here and there, and you listen to speakers, maybe that person's out there. Maybe we just haven't found them yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ladies, I'm sorry I took so much of your time when I really want to talk to you. Let me get back to the boot ride for a second. How would you improve the boot ride? Is there anything you saw that might be improved for next year?
Yeah.
Good. Let's hear it, please.
Motorcade should be extended. There was a lady that cut in on bikes right directly behind me. So the motorcade extended. It was kind of a long clutching pulling to the event itself, the after party.
Uh-huh.
So maybe work on that. Two different ways coming in, possibly. It's hard to do that. But also, the fans need to be brought back by the stage, the giant fans for the people standing in the heat. And the misters, good idea. More the the fans that wanted to see the sons and the veterans and the military there that were in VIP didn't have, a lot of them didn't have an opportunity because the same crowd was pushed against the side railing. And once they got their photos, they continued to stay there so long that other people was getting uncomfortable. So they need to move the crowd, shift the crowd a little so other people get through.
Okay, so they do all that. They do all that, and next year, they do all that. Everything you've just said. And I come through with two VIP... And I come through with two VIP passes. Where are you going to go? By the fence, or are you going to go with me?
I'll You're bribing the women? With friends.
You resorted to women, though?
I don't bribe women.
Oh, this is sad. This is sad. You have to offer these women a VIP pass to have them... Oh. Ladies, I'm sure you
Wait,
two ladies...
Wait, what did I miss?
I'm sorry, Philip was going somewhere and I turned it upside down. Your comment was, sir, what?
I said, would you rather stand outside in the fence and a mister by the fan, or would you rather go where I was?
Oh, I'm definitely going where you were.
But your point was for all the people that were there. Yeah.
I feel for the people that were loving and enjoying the bands, which I did before I went back to exclusive VIP with you, and they didn't have the fans there this year and the misters, and it makes a big difference. I mean, the crowds roaring and clapping and everything and being able to tolerate the heat a lot better. So for the true diehard, for actually everybody out there, that is definitely needed.
Good. They need to hear these comments and all the critiques. Any problem with the route?
I actually did send an email.
Good, good, good. That's what they need to hear. Constructive criticism is everything.
Yeah, make sure you send it to Megan.
People that call
one
of them.
Yes.
One who says
Myra,
she reads the emails but doesn't.
I hate it when people just criticize. When you're going to critique something and offer solutions, suggestions, that's everything.
I gave all the good highlights. Oh, yeah. It was a blast.
Good.
I gave some constructive feedback.
I'll tell you what, these two were like two kids in a candy store.
You were offering them candy, is that what you're saying?
No, as a matter of fact, Cheryl was offering me a
okay.
We had a good time.
Seeing her smile. That was her first year. She had a blast. She wasn't there long enough.
Maybe we can find a hotel next. Afterwards, we can all kind of party at the hotel lot, you know, rather than just turning bikes and go right home. But Philip and I, it's a 100-mile ride. It's not the end of the world, but if I'm partying all day, I may want to kick back. Maybe we find a lot of our local groups down here to hang up there.
Uh-huh.
If you can get
there
some good
go.
Information. Yeah. Or just go to your house, all of us, right?
You guys are welcome.
You're a good person. Thank you very much.
Cheryl makes good meatballs, though.
Oh, honey.
Yeah, sir. For the backyard, we could set up a tent. We could have Tent City.
The guest rooms. What are you talking about, Cheryl?
I heard Cheryl makes good meatballs.
Oh.
Yeah, she does. Oh, you're going to have to make a sandwich, a couple sandwiches, and take them down sometime.
All right, well, next time I know we're
going to wait a second. She is a killer cookie baker. The NAMM show for musicians, she bakes for all the vendors, and they love this girl for her cookies.
Well, maybe
so
for ride, or maybe you could bring a couple cookies along, okay?
Well, actually,
go.
Bill, we're going to all meet up on Friday on the way to Vegas.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Just
that
haven't confirmed
it yet. I don't know. I got chastised for overpacking and hysterically packing that bike down. We'll have to see unless we're going to make a hat for me to wear my cookies and my meatballs and then drive up to Vegas.
Yeah, she earned her
when you go on a ride,
on that
take,
ride.
You go on a ride. You take everything you cannot buy.
Yep.
Remember, when you get to Vegas, you can. Everything at UPS and mail everything home. Clothes,
you
anything
go.
You want to get home. If you buy too much stuff at Las Vegas. Ladies, we have to apologize. The time is running down. I'm glad you guys all tuned in. Our East Coast, Midwest, our friends out here on the West Coast, but...
You're going to give a little Charlie Baker, Bill. It's called Ride.
Maybe I'll sing tonight.
No, you ain't singing tonight.
You know, you just... Because you don't appreciate the unique sounds I make. Because you don't have a musical ear.
Let's hear it. You guys want to hear Bill's song?
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Are you
ready? Sign us off.
10 seconds, quick. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
I can't hear you, Billy.
What? I'll just switch to that song. Sing with me, everybody. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-C. Are you ready?
Good night, you guys.
You soon.
All right.
K-E-Y.
Good night, guys.
Why? Because we love you. Good night, everybody.
Night-night, guys. Thanks.